Thousands of years ago, King Solomon said, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun."
So over and over, we experience conflicts which have occurred before.
In one familiar incident, a small, religiously dominated country was invaded and quickly overwhelmed by a modern, powerful military. The victors brought with them an advanced system of justice, culture, and beliefs.
But bands of religious extremists made frequent attacks against the occupiers. Under threat of further war, the religious leaders agreed to keep the radicals under control, and an uneasy peace began.
This was Judea. The superpower was Rome, and on the week before Passover in 32 AD, yet another charismatic leader was closing in on the Judean capital. This posed a threat to both the Roman governor, Pilate, and the religious leader, Caiaphas. The charismatic leader was from Nazareth. They called him Jesus.
What Pilate did not know, and Caiaphas may have only suspected, Jesus had no intention of confronting the Romans. He promised a more permanent freedom.
The first thing I learned as governor of Judea was that, like everywhere else, I served Rome. No matter where you go, information is always for sale. I knew Jesus was coming to Jerusalem a full day before he arrived. I could have stopped him, but he didn't seem to be the threat Caiaphas thought he was. He terrified Caiaphas. But Jesus wasn't another Barabbas. That was obvious. He wasn't accumulating weapons or thugs. You know what I thought? I thought he posed more of a threat to the Pharisees than to Rome.
Pilate warned me. He knew Jesus was coming to overthrow the Romans. This was our agreement. If I could control the people, the Romans wouldn't attack the temple. I'm the chief priest. I decide what God wants, not some tradesman from Judea who thinks he's a rabbi. If I didn't stop Jesus, Pilate would have. He made no secret about that. We couldn't let this one man, Jesus, risk the entire nation. The Romans would have destroyed the temple. Nobody could rebuild it. King of Judea? No. Jesus would have been king of rubble.
Jesus was my son, my boy. I heard every word he spoke while he was growing up. He was not a zealot. Everyone thought he was coming to Jerusalem to overthrow the Romans. They were wrong. He was more concerned about the burden of the Pharisees than the burden of the Romans. He didn't want to be ruler of their world. He wanted to be the servant of the world. His disciples didn't understand this. Not even Thomas, probably the most cynical man I know.
We were reaching the point of no return, and I knew it. The other 11 knew too. You could see it in their eyes. We were only a few hours away from Jerusalem, and the momentum was carrying us along. No one knew what to expect. Peter even had a sword. Only Jesus seemed to know exactly what was going on. Jesus is destined to be our Messiah. I read the scripture, but how he becomes king is beyond me.
Still there's greatest treasure remains for
from the beginning of time, God had a plan.
The problem was that men had their own plans. Pilate had his plan to keep order in Judea. Caiaphas had his plan to keep his power in Jerusalem. The disciples' plan was to rule with Jesus in his kingdom.
The people of Judea had no plan. They had only a thirst for their Messiah.
But for once, all the questions and all the fear faded into the cheers of the people. This is what we had waited for.
The people needed to be quiet. They were deluded. They were agitating the Romans.
I was amazed at the people's reaction to my son. I had never been happier for him. If the people of Jerusalem had really known him, they would have showered him with praise long before this.
I couldn't believe the crowd. They screamed, they cheered, they were expecting Jesus. I thought maybe they finally understood. Maybe our salvation is here. Maybe it's time.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Everything I had heard of him led me to believe that he knew what he was doing. He was politically smart, so he had to know he was crossing a line. Conflict with the Sanhedrin was unavoidable once he came back to Jerusalem, and he knew it.
Jesus had no idea what he was doing by coming back. We didn't condemn him. He condemned himself with his very own words. He desecrated the temple with violence by attacking the money changers. He violated the Sabbath with harvesting and healing. He taught the people to ignore us, the Pharisees. God put us in charge of this ignorant, greedy nation. We run the temple. Jesus is not our king. Caesar is our only king.
He couldn't have overthrown us. I doubt that was ever even in his mind.
Hypocrite. He turned the people against their very own leaders, and then he had the audacity to hold a Passover Seder with his followers. Who knows what he was telling them? No doubt filling them up with his great desire for power or planning how to save himself when the insurrection came.
Preparing his disciples for what was to come next. While they wondered about who would have the most power in his kingdom, Jesus, the Son of God, washed their feet as a servant. The Son of God as a servant. He was not in need of salvation. He was to be the Passover lamb, the sacrifice that provides salvation.
Jesus knew he was going to die as a sacrifice for everyone. The disciples, the Sanhedrin, Pilate, and you. The disciples didn't understand. We can excuse them, but we sit in his presence now fully aware of what Jesus intended and what he did. Jesus knew 2,000 years ago that what was happening in that room would affect you today. Right here, it was and is a time to celebrate the final Passover, the one at which the blood of the Lamb is on the doorpost for us all.
You who are humble, you who are gentle, breathtaking beauty, life-giving touch, we who are empty, we who are hungry, frail and unworthy, needing so much. But you called us worthy and able to meet with you here at your table. Table.
When they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then Jesus gave his disciples the chance to be the first to drink from the cup that represented the forgiveness of his blood. "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."